सहवीर्यङ्करभावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्त्वमादिर्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Now, in Sambhava Parva, in section 65. So now we have it that the Lord, in his pastimes, he's coming to deliver everybody. And at the same time, as all the demigods are coming along with them. Because the Lord always comes with his associates. Right? So in the spiritual world, there's Krishna, then he expands as Radharani. Radharani expands into all the other major personalities. They expand into to everybody else into Vrindavan. Right? Does that make sense? Then those same main personalities and their expansions, depending upon the need, then when they go to Dwarka, then they all expand there. Then when they go to Vaikuntha, they expand there. When they come into the material world, then they're the Suris, you know, that are with Garbhodakshaya Dakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kiradakshaya Vishnu, the original personalities. Then from them expand the demigods. Right? Does that make sense? So demigods technically are expansions of these internal potencies. Not necessarily that the soul is, but the potency that the demigod has. Does that make sense? Like that. So, yeah. So then, depending upon the incarnation, then he comes with, the demigods come, and you're either dealing with the original person, right? Because then that original person will manifest through that. Or you'll just have the demigod themselves. In any case, you know, so when Swayam Krishna comes, then Nanda Baba and Mother Yashoda and everybody like that will be the original Nanda Baba and Mother Yashoda like that. Does that make sense? But let's say it's a Vishnumurti, you know, playing Krishna. So then you might find that a different form. It would still be Nanda Baba and Mother Yashoda. The pastimes are basically the same. But it won't be Swayam. Does that make sense? So therefore the Shastras will say, you know, talk about sometimes how these have expanded from them, or they say that they are expanding from the demigod. Right? So it doesn't really matter because it's the same person. Does that make sense? Yes.
So this is the reason why in our alignment we're not very much against what, respecting demigods and like that, because we understand that they...
That connection, yes. Does that make sense? Because you'll see in some of the Vaishnava Sampradayas, they're not very tolerant of demigod worship. Right? I think that the Shris, they won't even go near a temple. They won't bow down, nothing. It's just they ignore them. Because there's only Vishnu, that's it. Right? Because, and then the Madhvas, then they worship them because they say all the demigods are actually Krishna's potency. Right? Krishna's potency to rule is Indra, you know, Krishna's potency to destroy is Shiva. Krishna's potency, you know, the fire is Agni, you know, sun, moon, like this. Does that make sense? It's all Krishna. So whenever the verse is talking about Agni or Indra or Varuna, it's only actually talking about Vishnu. It's not talking about the Jiva who's in the post of the demigod. It's talking about Krishna who's the origin of that post, or it's his potency is that post. Does that make sense? Yeah? Like that, which is interesting because their philosophy is two, so they make such a difference between the soul and God. like that. But they can, because the difference is so great, therefore they can accommodate worshiping the demigods. Well, the Shris don't make that much difference. They're working on the soul is different from God, but the main thing is not the difference, but the commonality, right? That they're the special oneness of purpose, right? The soul's purpose, the God's purpose is the same, right? So because that closeness there, then on things like the demigod worship, then they have to keep it very far away. Does that make sense? You know, when things get too close and certain things you can't get involved with, but then others, it's... Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yes. Madhva.
Just one more question.
Madhva, yes.
Then we also hear that it's one of the offenses to the holy name to worship the demigods, so how do you...
It's an offense to the holy name to consider that their name is equal to or better than Krishna's name. If you understand, they're all secondary names, and they don't compare with the holy name, you know, the primary names. And those secondary names are Krishna's names, so if you think it's the demigod's name, then it's a problem. But if you understand it's actually Krishna's name, it's not. Otherwise, when we chant the Vedic mantras, you know, Samno Mitra Sham Barunaha Shamno Bhavat Aryama Shamna Indra Brihaspati Shamna, like that. You know, so many demigods are mentioned like that, but we know those are all potencies of Vishnu. You know, it's just that it's somebody is in the post, right? You have the government and it has posts, so the posts are actually the government. Right, but the mundane person see the person in the post as the supreme, and he works as, I just have to get this done and get this paper signed by this person. So they respect them, worship them, you know, facilitate them. Then they get the work they want done. But someone who understands actually how it functions, the whole government, then they understand these posts, they're just posts to the government. So the power is actually that there happens to be a particular person there. Right, so you deal with them nicely according to etiquette, but they're no different than us. But because they're holding the government post, it's the government post that makes them different. Yeah, it's not themselves. Right, so that's the thing, is the worshippers, the demigods, we say are less intelligent because they think it's the demigod himself who's generating that potency. Well, those who are intelligent know that that is actually the potency of Krishna. Then they have no problem. Yes? More Madhu questions. Yes?
And then, in Satya Saradati Ganunga Potas, Bhakti Kiswami, then he recommends that to each that worship the original potencies. And since there is no difference, then why would he give that recommendation?
He would recommend worshipping the original potencies.
Yeah, instead of worshipping Ganesh, then we worship Vishvasena and like that.
Okay, if they were saying that there's no difference, why would we go farther back? Because then the pastime is Ganesh. Do you really think of Ganesh in pastimes with Krishna?
No.
But it's one of the poses. But Vishvakshena, he's the commander-in-chief of the Vaikuntha army, so therefore he and Vishnu will be very much interactive. Does that make sense? So you're always going back to where it meets there. So that's that much, because of the nature of the formality. Otherwise you take it back and go further. You know what I say? Like that. Like you see, is even though he says all those, that's in the formal parts, the technical parts. But in areas that you don't have to be so technical, then you see he's worshipping the original devotees. You know? Does that make sense? Like that. Yes.
When the Lord's associates aren't Swayam, who are they?
When they're not Swayam, who are they? Meaning, they're the same person, they're just expansions. That's all. You know, it's just like Vishnu is an expansion of Mahanarayan. Like that, who's an expansion of Balaram is an expansion of Vishnu. You know, so just, there's only a certain amount of the personality needs to be manifest, because you're not dealing with Swayam Krishna, so you don't need, you know, Swayam Mother Yashoda or Swayam Nanda Baba. Does that make sense? Because you're dealing with less facets of Krishna's personality. Does that make sense? Yeah. You had a question?
Similarly, it was really demigod, so we see it as being Krishna's potency when Jiva takes the position. We can see this, or can we see this, in every manifestation of Krishna, whether it's the arrow, the
it's the same.
This will see it from the higher position to the demigods like Shiva and Brahma. It's easier to see because of the opulence and the power. Sometimes, because of course, ego week, it's harder to see on what we consider less.
Generally is because you can't give unlimited examples, right? Means otherwise we give examples of 8,400,000 species of life, but generally it's easier to give something that's obvious, right? You know, what's obvious is what we do. In other words, in the area where you see a reason for understanding it, then it's given there. Though you could give it through something else. You know, it's just like, if you think of a brahmachari, you think of a person who gives in charity. No, do you think of someone who hosts lots of guests? Do you think of someone who worries about the family rights and all those things? Do you think of someone who is having an occupation? No. Would you? Yeah. Does that make sense? But what ashram would you see all those in relationship to? Naturally, right. So that means that the Grihastha ashram would be the ashram. If we wanted to explain those rules, we'd explain it through that. Brahmacharis do give in charity, they do host guests, they do, you know, take care of these things. But because it is in such a much smaller, less opulent, less, you know, fanfare, therefore it's, you know, you wouldn't call it, you know, something. You know what I'm saying? The guy's been starving for days, hasn't had anything to eat, all he can get is an old dry piece of bread. For him, that's a festival, right? Okay? But for someone else, you know, that wouldn't even be edible. Does that make sense? So, therefore, you have to pick a standard that everybody's going to accept. Like I say, oh, we're going to have a feast. We're cooking, you know, rice, dal, and one sabji. Right? And why would that be a feast? Because every day we cook rice and dal. Or we just cook khichdi. Right? But somebody who, you know, has rice, dal, and five sabjis, then one subject is not a festival. Does that make sense? So you have to pick something that's obviously going to mean everybody's going to accept it. Right? Now, when you think of a grihastha, do you think of menial servants? Huh?
Menial
service. Someone who does menial service. Huh? No. Or someone who is living under the direction of the teacher, right? Or who basically studies all day, like that. Does that make sense? But they do those things. So, but the brahmachari is the natural place to explain those. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, the examples that are given, because you can't give unlimited, you want to be the most efficient, so you give an example that fits exactly the thing in an environment that everybody can relate to, right? Because you're dealing with mentalities across the board, right? So then you have to pick something that everybody can relate to. Therefore, there's community, right? The whole idea is with the Vedas is you're establishing community, because you're establishing a society in which everybody has the values are common. Some detail of that may be different, but the value is common. The way you deal, the way you appreciate it, work with it, is common. Does that make sense? So then they'll give examples like that. So then it is okay if you're talking about respect. Then it's easy to respect someone who's bigger than you, more powerful than you, more intelligent. In other words, someone who has more opulence than you have. Right? That's why a king, even though technically he doesn't necessarily need a fancy palace and all these different things, if he just lived in a grass hut, over there in the woods there, who would take him seriously? He'd say, well, I got a bigger house than him, He's the king. Right? And then he comes over to you and, dressed very humbly, just a dhoti and chadar, and says, you're sure it's not so nice that you're doing these things and all that. We'd like you to, stop that. It's kind of like, who is this guy? But he shows up, with his whole army there, and it's kind of like, and he says, yeah, I think it would be good for your health to not do this. And you go, yes, I'm a very health conscious person. I'll take your suggestion very seriously. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's like you have wealth, but he has more, therefore he's respected. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Right? Does that make sense? So, but the devotee, he can see this as the more he, contemplates, practices his realization, then he can see this down to everything like that. Because then he's not seeing the external material, because that's what it means. It can be gold or it can be a stone. What's the difference? It's just another portion of material energy. So what's engaged in the Lord's service, that is valuable. What's not is not valuable. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore then a soul that's in one body or another, he doesn't see the difference. Right? It's not that, oh, this is a dog soul and this is a cat soul and this is a human soul. This is just a soul, eternal servant of Krishna. It's conditioned by a particular set of needs. Therefore, to fulfill those needs, then there here is a dog or a cat. Right? So that's why is that, and just like you're compassionate to those who are junior, so the animals are also junior, so then you're kind to them. You deal with them properly, right? They expect, they expect that. Does that make sense? Okay. You had a question? No? Yes.
For the previous point, it's going to be not a Madhava one, it's a Gujarati one.
A Gujarati one, instead of?
Instead of Madhava one.
A Madhava.
Because the story was that, the question was that see the potency in the demigods and see Krishna's potency in demigods. So then also in Gujarat it's very common that they see the potency in the children. They see Krishna's potency in the children. So how is actually, what is the proper application? Not that, we worship the children, that he is God. But it's like proper I call it mood, a proper way of seeing Krishna's potency there, but not improperly seed.
Okay, well, if you want to see, your child is God, that's fine.
Or just then, everybody else also.
No, but then the thing is then it would be natural is that then everybody else's child would also be God. And then those who control God must be even more powerful, right? Mm-hmm. So therefore the teachers and the parents and other senior persons who are controlling. So in that way then you see God everywhere. But if it's only your child is God and everybody else is a schmutz, then you have a problem. Then you have a big problem. Yeah? Okay. Anything else? Finished on the demigod. Okay. Okay. Diti had one son called Hiranyakashipu, and the illustrious Hiranyakashipu had five sons, all famous throughout the world. The eldest of them all was Prahlad. The next was Shahrada. The third was Anuhrada. And after him were Sivi and Vashkala and Obharata. It is known everywhere that Prahlad had three sons. They were Virochana, Kumbha, and Nikumbha. And under Virochana was born a son, Vali, of great prowess. And the son of Bali is known to be the Asura Vana. No, Vanasura is. Wow, that's cool. And blessed with good fortune, Vana was a follower of Rudra and was known also by the name of Mahakala. And Danu had 40 sons, O Bharata. Right, because it's going through. Okay. The sons of, the wives of Kasyapa. Because these are the Prajapatis, right? And so they're the ones that actually populated the whole universe with all the different species. So we got the Adityas, like that. And then we got from Diti, her two sons, and then their line. I guess Hiranyakshapa didn't have much of a line. But, And Danu had 40 sons, O Bharat. The eldest of them all was Viprachiti, of great fame, Sambara, and Namuchi, and Paoloman. Right, Namuchi is, I think, was the demon like foam, wasn't it? He had that. I think Namuchi was some kind of like a foam demon.
He had a benediction that couldn't be killed by anything wet or dry, so.
Oh, I see. Oh, it was the foam weapon that was used on it. Okay. Yeah, I knew there was some of that foam there. Yeah, in other words, I guess Namuchi would be very careful of using, shaving cream or something. Because his wife knew how to keep him in line, right? Yeah, man, shaving cream. Oh, yeah, no problem. Okay, Ashiloman and Keshi. Oh, Keshi is Vipachiti's. Yeah. And Durjaya. Right? So all these demons were, it means these ones that have come to Krishna, big, big demons. Ayashiras, Ashrashiras, and the powerful Ashrashanku. Also, Garanamardhana and Vegavat. And he is called Ketumat. Swarbhanu, Ashva, Ashwapati, Vrishaparvan. Vrishaparvan is, I think, he's one of the main, like, kings in that. Isn't Vrishaparvan who Shukracharya sits in his court? Mm-hmm. Not sure. And Ajaka, Ashwagriva, Shukshma, Tuhunda, of great strength, Ekapada, Ekachakra, Virupaksha, Mahodhara, Nichandra, Nikumba, Kupata and Kapata, Saraba and Shalabha, Surya and then Chandramash. These in the race of Danu are stated to be well known. The Surya and Chandramas, the sun and the moon of the celestials, are other persons, just so that you don't mix them up. They're not sons of Danu. And not the sons of Danu as mentioned above. The following 10, gifted with great strength and vigor, were also, O king, born of the race of Danu. Ekaksha, Amritapa, of heroic courage. Pralamba, Pralambasura, Pralamba. And Naraka, Narakasura, okay. Vatrapi, Srutapana, and Sata, the great Asura. Gavishta, Vanayu and the Danava called Dirga Jiva, right? These are all Danavas, right? So Daityas means they're sons of Diti, and Danavas means they're the sons of Danu. Okay.
Wasn't yes. That Vatapi who Durvasa Muni killed?
No, this is Vatrapi.
Vatrapi.
Yeah, we'd have to see come up. Right? And Obharata. The sons and grandsons of these were known to be countless. And Sinhika gave birth to Rahu, the persecutor of the sun and the moon, and to three others, Shuchandra, Chandrahantri, and Chandra Pramardana. And the countless prodigy of Krura, were as crooked and wicked as herself. Oh, Krura, Krodha is one of the... I guess she was anger personified. And the tribe was wrathful of crooked deeds and persecutors of their foes. And Danayu also had four sons who were bulls amongst the Asuras. They were Vrikshara, Vala, Vira, and Vitra, the great Asura. Vitra, okay. And the sons of Kala were all like Yama himself, and smiter of all foes. And they were great energy and oppressors of all foes. And the sons of Kala were Vinasana and Krodha. Then Krodha Hantri and Krodha Satru. And there were many others among the sons of Kala, and Sukra, the son of Arishi, was the chief of the Asuras. And Sukra, the son of Arishi, was the chief of the priest of the Asuras. And the celebrated Sukra had four sons who were priests of the Asuras. Oh, I see. So this must be Sukracharya. And they were Tastadara, Atri, and two others of fierce deeds. They were like the sun himself in energy, and set their hearts in acquiring the regions of Brahman. Thus hath been recited by me, as heard in the Purana, a progeny of the gods and the Asuras, both of great strength and energy. I am incapable, O king, of counting the descendants of these, countless as they are, not much known to fame. And the sons of Vinata were Tarkya and Arishtanemi. You have that, Arishtanemi. Garuda and Aruna, and Aruni and Varuni, and Sesha or Ananta, Vasuki, Takshaka, Kumara, Kulika are known to be the sons of Kandru. And Bhimasena, Ugrasena, Suparna, Varuna, Gopata, Dhritarashtra, and Suryavarchas, the seventh, Satyavarchas, Arkaparna, Prayuta, Bhima, and Chitrarata, known to fame of great learning, and a controller of his passions, and then Kalishiras, and O king, Parjanya, the 14th in the list, Kali, the 15th, and Narada, the 16th. These Devas and Gandharvas are known to be the sons of Muni, Daksha's daughter, as mentioned before. I shall recount many others, O Bharata, Anavadya, Manu, Mansha, Vansha, Asura, Marga Napriya, Anupa, Subhaga, Vashi, were the daughters brought forth by Prada, Siddha, and Purna, and Varhani, and Purnayus of great fame. Brahmacharin, Ratniguna, Suparna, who was the seventh, Vishwavasu, Banu, and Suchandra, who was the tenth, were also the sons of Prada. All these were celestial Gandharvas, and it is known that this Prada of great fortune, through the celestial Rishi Kasyapa, her son, her husband, brought forth the sacred of the Apsaras, Alambusha, Misrakeshi, Vidyutparna, Tilotama, Aruna, Rakshita, Rumba, Manorama, Keshini, Suvahu, Surata, Suraja, and Supriya were the daughters, and Ativahu and the celebrated Haha, and Huhu and Tumvuru were the sons, the best of the Gandharvas, right? Those are the Gandharva names, Haha, Huhu, and Tumvuru. But I would recommend not laughing, how you say, when if they happen to be present, introduce themselves as Haha or Huhu, don't laugh.
It's in Lumbu and Obalam. There's a deity, one of the Nishingani deities, and says that these two demigods, Haha and Huhu, they're the ones that are dancing and singing for him.
Ah, yeah, they dance and sing. Because these are the prominent ones. You'll hear them come up all the time. Yes.
Haha and Huhu were the one after Ganesh, he pacified Narasimhadev. Haha and Huhu came to entertain
somebody. Oh, okay. Yeah. You heard? He was saying that after you said after Pallad.
Yeah, after Ganesh.
Oh, I see. So after Pallad was pacified, then Lakshmi was there. Then when Ganesh came, and then he offered his prayers, and Haha and Huhu, then they came and they entertained the Lord, singing and dancing. So they're very, very prominent. You'll see them. The best of the Gandharvas of Pradha. And Amrita, the Brahmanas, kind, Gandharvas, and Apsaras were born of Kapila, as stated in the Purana. Thus hath been recited to thee by me the birth of all creatures, duly of Gandharvas and Apsaras, of snakes, Suparnas, Rudras, and Maruts, of kine and of Brahmins blessed with great good fortune, and of sacred deeds. And this account, if read, extendeth the span of life, is sacred, worthy of all praise, and giveth pleasure to the ear. It should be always heard and recited to others in a proper frame of mind. He who duly readeth this account of the birth of all high-souled creatures, in the presence of the gods and Brahmins, obtaineth large progeny, good fortune, and fame, and attaineth also excellent worlds thereafter. Suna, section 66. Vaishampayana said, it is known that the spiritual sons of Brahman were the six great rishis already mentioned. There was another of the name Stanu, and the sons of Stanu, gifted with great strength, were, it is known, 11. They were Mrigavadhya, Sarpa, Niriti, now Niriti of great fame. Niriti is the direction, the southwest, like that. Stanu is Stanu? Yeah, that's Niriti. Stanu is known, he sits in this corner, like that, and Niriti is in this corner.
I think he's a forefather's lord.
Yeah, well, they're all, these are the 11 Rudras. Right? That's what you're dealing with. Because it says, for those already mentioned, the spiritual sons, as those another. Right? So then you have Shiva, Rudra. Like that. So then he had the 11 Rudras. And of them, Niriti is very famous because he's the Lord of the Southwest. So Stanu means Lord Shiva, but in that form of Stanu, he sits in the northeast, right? And then opposite in the southwest is where the Niriti would be. Ajaykapat, I hear Brahna and Pinaki, the oppressor of foes. Dahana and Ishwara, Kapali of great splendor, and Stanu and the illustrious Bharga. These are called the 11 Rudras. It hath been already said that Marichi, Angiris, Atri, Pulastya, Pulaha, and Kratu, these six great rishis of great energy were the sons of Brahman. Right? So these are the six sons here, he says, that were specifically known as spiritual, that they were interested in the spiritual upliftment and all that. Shiva is also, but he's kind of in his own category, so he's mentioned separately. And then his children, the 11 Rudras. It is well known in the world that Angirish's sons are three, Brihaspati, Utatya, and Samvarta, all of rigid vows. And, O king, it is said that the sons of Atri were numerous, and being great rishis, they are all conversant with the Vedas, crowned with ascetic success, and of souls in perfect peace. And, O tiger among kings, the sons of Pulastya of great wisdom are Rakshasas, monkeys, Kinaras, which are half men, half horses, and Yakshas, right? Kinara means, Nara means person, right? Human. And Ki means what? So a Kinara is, what kind of person is this, right? Isn't it? You know, someone came up to you, you know, human body, horse head. Hari Baba Prabhu, how are you? And you'd be sitting there going, what's this? Who's this? Right? And then what's the other one? There's Kinara and Kim Purush. It's also Purusha means man, so Kim Purusha is also the same thing. It's just like, huh?
That's the place where Arjuna and Kandakoka, Kim Purush?
Kim Purushas.
Up in the Himalayas?
I think you've gone past the Kurus. You may have been there. There's an area of the Kim Purushas. I think you did. I think you dealt with the Kim Purushas.
Like in the world of Kinkaras?
Kinkaras.
What
do
they do?
Kinkaras, I think, are assistants. Right? Kinkara just means an assistant. Kinkari means a female assistant. Like maid servants, that kinkaris. I don't think, I'm not sure that they're specifically a species. It's more of a position, but you know, they might also be. and Yakshas. Okay, so Pulastya was the father of these. And O King, the son of Pulaha, were, it is said, the Shalabhas, the winged insects, the lions, the Kimpurushas, half lions and half men, tigers, bears, and wolves, and the sons of Kratu, sacred as sacrifices, are the companions of Surya, the Vahalikyas, known in the three worlds and devoted to truth and vows. The Vahalikyas, those are a little the size of the thumb, little the 60,000 of them. Those are the ones that were, I think, doing austerities on the branch, that when Garuda came and landed on it, that 100 yojana branch that it broke, and so then he had to grab it and then allow them all to get off the branch and stuff. Right, as the companions of Surya, they sit on his, the axle of his chariot, right? And then they in that way then hear from the sun god, you know, all the philosophy and all that. And O protector of the earth, the illustrious Rishi Daksha, of soul in complete peace and of great asceticism, sprung from the right toe of Brahman, and from the left toe of Brahman sprang the wife of the high soul Daksha, and the Muni begat upon her 50 daughters, and all those daughters were of faultless features and limbs and of eyes like lotus petals, and the Lord Daksha, not having any sons, made those daughters his putrikas, so that their sons might belong both to himself and to their husbands. And Daksha bestowed, according to the sacred ordinance, 10 of his daughters on Dharma, 27 on Chandra, the moon, that's the 27 nakshatras. Right? So when he moves to the sky, then all the nakshatras are there, so he spends time with each of his wives as he goes around. He got cursed because he used to spend all the time with Rohini. You know, so the other just got a little annoyed. So he was cursed, so he would get bigger and smaller. You know, like that. And 13 on Kasyapa. Right, so we heard before the ones of Kasyapa. Those were all the ones mentioned before. Listen as you recount the wives of Dharma according to their names. Right, there was 10. Right, they are 10 in all. Kirti, Lakshmi, Driti, Medha, Pushti, Shraddha, Kriya, Buddhi, Lajja, and Mati. These are the wives of Dharma. Right? See, Laj means shyness, right? This is the wives of Dharma. So shyness, Buddhi, intelligence, Medha, you know, would be, also intelligence, but like the essence, deep, like realization, Lakshmi, wealth. What, Kirti? It's fame. Like fame. Driti?
What's the name?
Like, for, like a, like, it's kind of like serious.
No, move away from truth. That is,
yeah, okay, yeah, being like that. Medha, Pushti?
Nourishment.
Nourishment. Shraddha, faith. Kriya, ritual. Right? These are the wives of Dharma. So these are all the things that make Dharma work nicely. These are the wives of Dharma as appointed by the self-created. It is also, that's why I also like shyness, and like when you don't use your intelligence, this thing is done, it's like you have a tendency to move away from religious principles. You know, you don't follow the rules, don't use the intelligence, aren't shy, aren't sober, aren't like this. It is known throughout the world that the wives of Soma, the moon, are 27. And the wives of Soma, all of sacred vows, are employed in indicating time, and they are the nakshatras and the yoginis, and they become so for assisting the courses of the world. And Brahman had another son named Manu, and Manu had a son of the name of Prajapati, and the sons of Prajapati were 8 and were called Vasus, whom I shall name in detail. What are the Vasus of the grandsons of Brahman? No, great-grandsons. They were Dhara, Dhruva, Soma, Aha, Anila, Anala, Pratyusha, and Prabhasa. These 8 are known as the Vasus. Of these, Dhara and the truth-knowing Dhruva were born of Dhumra. Chandramas, Soma, and Swasana, Anila, were born of the intelligent Swasa. Aha was the son of Rata, and Hutasana, Anala, of Sandila, Sandilya. And Pratyusha and Prabhasha were the sons of Prabhat. And Dara had two sons, Dravina and Hutahavyavaha. What does Hutahavyavaha mean? See, something to do with the yogi. Yeah. And the son of Dhruva is the illustrious Kala, time, the destroyer of the worlds. And Soma's son is the resplendent Varchas. And Varchas begot upon his wife Manohara three sons, Shishira and Ramana. Varchas, I think that's who came as Abhimanyu. Yeah. So we see in here is all these personalities, these main ones that are there, all represented in the Mahabharata. There's also all these different, you know, demigods and demons all were present. So they were all empowered. Some point it'll get down, it'll tell who's who. Right? First it'll list them all, then it'll say who in the Dwarka pastimes and that, you know, of the Kurus and the Yadus, who is who.
Is there a reason why the demons are listed first and then the demigods?
Why the demons are listed first then the demigods? It could be just, you know, who's who, seniority of... What we see there is actually, of the Prajapatis, the first one that they mentioned was Kasyapa, right, because he's prominent, because so many of the species of life are actually coming from his family. But of them, the first mention was Diti. So the Adityas, they were first mentioned. Then it mentioned Diti and Danu and the others like that. And we see some of the others, then it's a mix, you know. Then the other sons, and some had other varieties of species of life and things like that. And the son of Aha were Jyoti, Sama, Santa, and also Muni. And the son of Agni is the handsome Kumara, born in a forest of reeds. And he is also called Kartikeya, because he was reared by Kritika and others.
Six Kritikas.
Well, he was raised by Mies. There were six.
Six Kritikas were raised by the
Kritikas. Oh, so it says by Kritika and others. So it means there were six of them and they were called the Kritikas. Okay. And after Kartikeya were born his three brothers, Shaka, Vishaka, and Naigameya. And the wife of Anila is Shiva. And Shiva's sons were Manojava, Abhigyatagati. These two were the sons of Anila. The son of Pratyusha, you must know, is the rishi named Devala. And Devala had two sons who were both exceedingly forgiving and of great mental power. And the sister of Brihaspati, the first of women, uttering the sacred truth, engaged in ascetic penances, roamed over the earth, and she became the wife of Prabhas, the eighth Vasu. And she brought forth the illustrious Vishvakarman, the founder of all arts. And he was the originator of the thousand arts, the engineer of the immortals, the maker of all kinds of ornaments, and the first of artists. And it is he who constructed the celestial cars of the gods, and mankind are enabled to live in consequence of the inventions of that illustrious one. And he is worshipped for that reason by men, and he is eternal and immutable, this Vishvakarman. It shows Krishna's potency to create the machineries of the world, right? Because in a human society, certain machines are needed, so that's all created by Vishvakarma. Interesting, the originator of a thousand arts. So arts are so many, right? So here a thousand means there's so many. But when we refer generally in training and that, there's the 64 arts. So you're taking the prominent ones of that, like music, drama, dance, and cooking, and aesthetics, and some of these others. And then, depending upon your occupation, then you'll have a particular set of arts. Does that make sense? That work for you. So it's does that make sense? So there's thousands of arts. So what will be prominent? That's and or important for the particular person. Then you take 64. So they generally come in, they're mentioned as a group of 64. And the illustrious Dharma, the dispeller of all happiness, assuming a human countenance, came out through the right breast of Brahman. And Ahasta, Dharma, had three excellent sons capable of charming every creature. They are Sama, Kama, Harsha, peace, desire, and joy. And by their energy, they are supporting the worlds. And the wife of Kama is Rati. Of Sama is Prapti. And the wife of Harsha is Nanda. And upon them indeed are the worlds made to depend. Peace, desire, and joy. Right? Because of desire, there's endeavor. Right? And only if there's peace can endeavor be made. Right? And only if there's joy does anybody ever do any work anyway, right? If you're not going to get any joy out of it, then what's the use of the desire, right? Like that, that's their point. And the sons of Marichi, and the son of Marichi is Kasyapa, and Kasyapa's offspring are the gods and the asuras. And therefore is Kasyapa the father of the worlds. Right? That's why he's mentioned first. Even though the others are there, but the whole world is... Basically all the demigods and the demons come from him. So basically the whole universe is dependent upon him. And Tvastri, in the form of Vadava, a mare, became the wife of Savitri. And she gave birth to the skies, to two greatly fortunate twins, the Ashwinis, and, O king, the sons of Aditi are 12, with Indra leading them all. And the youngest of them all was Vishnu, upon whom the worlds depend. Right? Here's another where he mentions how Vishnu is supreme. These are the 33 gods, the 8 Vasus, the 11 Rudras, the 12 Adityas, Prajapati, and Vashakara. Vashakara. What was that? Vashakara? Oh, okay. Okay. But he's also, Indra is one of the 12 Adityas. Isn't he? Yeah. Okay. So these are 33, and I guess everything else kind of expands from there. 8 Vasus, 11 Rudras, 12 Adityas, Prajapati, and Vashatkara. I shall now recount the progeny according to their pakshas, kulas, and ganas. Yes.
How was Saraswati born?
Saraswati.
Does it mention?
Doesn't say. Not so far. Not so far. Okay. And these pakshas, kulas, and ganas. So paksha is a bigger. And then kula is a more general family, and Gana will be more specific. The Rudras, the Sadhyas, the Maruts, the Vasus, the Bhargavas, and the Vishwadevas are each reckoned as a Paksha. Garuda, the son of Vinata, and the mighty Aruna also, and the illustrious Brihaspati, are reckoned among the Adityas. Okay. Oh, because they were like the sun. Okay. The twin Ashwinis, all annual plants, and all inferior animals are reckoned among the Guhyakas. Okay, so now we know what the Guhyakas are. These are the ganas of the gods recited to thee, O king. This recitation washes men of all sins. The illustrious Bhrigu came out, ripping open the breast of Brahman. The learned Shukra is Bhrigu's son. And the learned Shukra became a planet and engaged according to the command of the self-existence in pouring and withholding rain and in dispensing and remitting calamities. Traverses for sustaining the lives of all creatures in the three worlds through the skies. and the learned Sukra of great intelligence and wisdom, of rigid vows, leading the life of a Brahmacharin, divided himself in twain by power of asceticism, and became the spiritual guide of both the Daityas and the gods. And after Sukra was thus employed by Brahman in seeking the welfare of the gods and the Asuras, Bhrigu begot another excellent son. This was Chavana, who was like the blazing sun, a virtuous soul and of great fame. And he came out of his mother's womb in anger and became the cause of his mother's release. O king, from the hands of the Rakshasa. And Arushi, the daughter of Manu, became the wife of the wise Chavana. And on her was begotten Aurva, of great reputation. And he came out ripping open the thigh of Arushi. And Aurva begot Richika. And Richika, even in his boyhood, became possessed of great power and energy and of every virtue. And Richika begot Jamadagni. And the high soul Jamadagni had four sons. And the youngest of them all was Rama, Parasuran. And Rama was superior to all his brothers in the possession of good qualities. And he was skillful in all weapons, and became the slayer of the Kshatriyas. And he had his passions under complete control. And Aurva had 100 sons with Jamadagni, the eldest. And these 100 sons had offspring by thousands spread over the earth. So we've got a long way to go here. Okay. Any questions on this?
Yes, sometimes they take Bhrigu as son of Varuna.
Bhrigu as son of Varuna. Because sometimes these different personalities, due to some situations, and they're born here, like we heard Skanda. Then he was, what was it? Kritika, raised by Kritika, but they mentioned he was son of. Yeah, but they didn't mention Shiva. So something happens, and, you know, like that. And then he goes, like, what is it? Like Kamadev. He came and was agitating Shiva, so Shiva burned him to ashes. So then he had to come back as someone else's kid. Right? No. Then he came as Krishna's kid, as Pajumna. Like that, so it happens. Some curse or something like that, and then they end up taking birth again from a different personality.
When Lord Shiva burned Kamadev, the fire, it was burning so much that Lord Shiva asked, why to take care of it? And he was taking care, but he started to feel hot. So he put it in Ganga, and afterwards the 6 Kritikas came. Because a child was born over there. Mm-hmm. So the 6 Kritikas came to feed the child. Because they were 6, so he manifested 6 heads. And he drank milk from each of them. And so he also called Shanmukhananda.
Shanmukhananda. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I read also that Kartikeya is the son of Agni.
Yeah, I've got mentioned here. Yeah. He was originally son of Shiva. These things happen. Yes, sir. You got some line? Is there any connection between one side and the other? Or
it's hard to tell, but from what they did, it's about half inch somewhere.
Half inch we can make up with plaster.
He was saying, I don't know.
Yeah, half inch we can make up with plaster. The main thing is when you're done.